Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We are chatting with Ed Moya, Senior Market Analyst over at Oanda. Ed, there's a lot for us to talk about today. I'm glad we pushed our call back from yesterday to today because it lets us recap a wide range of U.S. economic data that was released this morning. And unfortunately, it seems like pretty much across the board, this economic data disappointed. We had a flash PMI. We had the Richmond Fed manufacturing activity. We also had April new home sales. Quite frankly, everything missed. Everything is showing that the economy is slowing. And quite frankly, it seems also like businesses are starting to cut back on some of their spending. That we also heard from the earnings out of Snap that came out today. Starting simply just with the U.S. economic data. Ed, can you give us an update on what caught your eye? What data you think is most important to understand when, again, quite frankly, we saw everything miss to the downside?
Yeah, very much so. I think the economy is obviously starting to weaken. But when you take a look at, you know, the raft of data, everything came in much worse than expected. We always focus on the consensus estimate, but I always like to take a look at the forecast range. And most of these numbers were below the most pessimistic view. And that is, you know, troubling. I think when you take a look at the flash PMIs, and for me, that was the, you know, the standout. You saw, you know, manufacturing, you know, it weakened close to the consensus estimate. But what everyone was expecting was that, you know, a lot of people are shifting their spending from away from goods into services. And we had a really big miss with the services PMI. And that, you know, paints a picture that, you know, we're probably going to see a sharper deceleration in economic activity in May. And, you know, I don't think anyone would be surprised if we said that will probably spill over into June. And when you consider all the other Fed regional surveys we had so far, Richmond coming in, you know, dramatically lower, -9 versus an estimate of 10. You know, you're starting to see that, you know, certain pockets of the economy are really feeling this difficult macro environment, and they think, you know, these supply chain issues, inflation, surging wages, it's really weighing on the economy. And when you take a look at new home sales, you know, the housing market's been the bright spot of the economy for the entire pandemic. And now, you know, that data is continuing to trend lower. And I mean, obviously, home prices continue to go up. You know, so the peak is in for the housing market. I think that you're probably going to see that there's a lot of concern that, you know, this economy is going to, you know, struggle a little bit, you know, because, you know, input costs are going up, economic concerns are going to remain elevated here. And I think traders are you know, becoming very pessimistic for the short term. And that's why I think we see a lot of red on the screen today.
Yeah, Ed, and even last year when we were talking about the Fed getting geared up to start their rate hiking cycle this year, you know, we had postulated with a lot of different guests that if they start raising rates, that's going to hit the real estate market eventually, because it's a teeter-totter where there's price on one side and interest rates on the other, or mortgage rates on the other. And as they raise interest rates, the mortgage rates go up. So obviously on that teeter-totter, there's going to be a supply-demand issue and prices are going to start coming down. And when you look at the U.S. homes data today, it's the worst in 9 years. It was down 17% or decreased 17%, 16.6%. So that just goes to show that the mantra that we've been hearing for the last year or two, like, oh, there's just no inventory. There's going to be plenty of inventory soon when people need to roll out of that. And as we know from the 2008, 2009 great financial crisis, when people have adjustable rate mortgages and they start seeing their rates go up, they find out pretty quickly that maybe they bought too big of a home. So this could have that contagion effect, maybe not to the same degree as then, but the housing market is a huge input in the economy for construction and all the materials companies that supply it. So, I mean, how do you think that may affect things like the REIT markets, or how do you think that may affect commercial developers, residential developers? What's your take on the overall real estate market?
Well, I think, you know, a lot of traders, when they take a look at what the Fed did wrong, you know, the housing market was one of the few things that they could have controlled. And I think the way it was I think traders were positioned. There was an expectation that we were going to see this housing market peak, you know, fairly soon, at least in the earlier part of the year. And I think you're probably going to see that the trajectory for borrowing costs is only going to go up. I think, you know, people are debating, you know, well, if the neutral rate is going to be 3%, or maybe we're going to have to see the Fed overshoot that. You know, I think there was this strong expectation that, okay, housing is definitely going to slow down. And everyone was just rushing to kind of, you know, try to capitalize off of, you know, this hot market. So I think there was a good amount of preparedness that this peak was imminent. But I think that the deceleration in spending for new homes is probably going to be a lot quicker than people anticipated, and there will be some distress in this market. But I think for the most part, it should be contained. But you never know. I think one of the biggest concerns for the Fed is market functioning, and you know, depending on, you know, how borrowing costs unfold and what happens with people that overstress themselves, that will, you know, be a, you know, a risk that we'll probably be dealing with for the next 12 months. But right now, I think that the housing market was ripe for to cool, and you know, everything suggests that that's going to remain the trend. And I think you know, home prices should start to peak too, just because I think we're going to see that demand destruction happen, you know, fairly soon.
Really seems like everything is peaking right now, and as you even brought up, when it comes to the Fed, all eyes are on the Fed and how they react to this sort of economic data. Because in the past, in all fairness, when we have seen weak economic data, sometimes markets have gone up because expectations are that the Fed is going to step in and support, however they can with easy money policies, the underlying economy. Now is a bit of a different story because the Fed seems so focused on inflation. And you have to think that as the Fed has started to tighten here, weakness was expected, mostly because, look, weak economic data, that can bring down inflation. How do you think the Fed is viewing all this then? Because the Fed wants lower inflation. As the economy is topped out, we have to assume that inflation will come down, but that's going hand in hand with a market that is looking like it's on pretty weak footing.
Yeah, and I think right now the Fed, they're taking a look at a lot of things. They even mentioned that they're looking at the stock market, and I think it goes to show you that they know that you know, for a lot of Americans, the stock market makes up a good amount of their wealth. And while I think for about 5 months of the year, I've been telling you about how household and corporate balance sheets are still strong. You know, when your stock market portfolio is, you know, 20% lower, I think you're facing still 7-8% inflation, your confidence is weakening by the day. And I think the Fed is you know, they're concerned about growth. I think they're gonna, they know that they're locked in for delivering still a steady stream of rate hikes. But I think that if we continue to see the stock market sell off. So if you know, in 2 months' time, we're talking 3,500 on the S&P 500. You know, then I think what will be most likely the way that the Fed adjusts their tightening is, you know, we won't be dealing with half rate point increases. We'll half point increases. We'll probably be going down to 25, and I think that would signal to the market that, okay, the Fed is, we could see the end of the Fed's hiking cycle probably in the distant future. I think that they have to bring rates well above 2%. And I think that you're probably going to see that if the market starts to believe that the Fed is going to be in a position where they consider a quarter point rate increase, then that's green light for buying stocks. And that's, I think, you know, that's a big part of the equation. I think there's still two other big variables. I think you really need to see optimism from China. And for that, you know, you might not get that until the fall. So I think we're in a difficult period for equities. You know, there could be some more downside. But I think that in the end, if traders believe the Fed is near the end of that hiking cycle with China, looks like they're going to be closer to abandoning that zero COVID policy, which, you know, won't happen for a few months or probably a little bit longer than that. And oil has to be below $100. You know, you're in for a very difficult economic environment. I think there's good reason to anticipate that in the end, the Fed will ultimately show its dovish wings, and that despite everything that is supporting higher oil prices, you're probably going to see that. I think in the end, you know, oil will likely settle below $100 by the fourth quarter, and I think in the end, equities will find their footing. But right now, this is just a very ugly macro environment, and but until things start to look a little bit better, you'll probably continue to see, you know, traders selling every rebound that we get.
Yeah, Ed, it's an interesting environment, and it seems like the Fed was already willing to let some of the market tank a little bit to kill the demand side, as you point out, to kill the wealth effect to some degree, which would slow down the demand side and hopefully help the inflation picture. But people need to remember that, you know, the Fed may ratchet it down and downshift it from 50 basis points to 25 basis points and then even pause. But there are only two rate hikes in so far. They've only done a 25 basis point and a 50 basis point with two more 50 basis points on deck. And you can't ignore the inflation side of this equation, because look at what happened to retail sales last week with Walmart and Target. Look what happened with Abercrombie and Fitch. Look at what we're seeing in the social media stocks today, where people start trimming the fat. And one of the places they trim the fat is advertising. And when you look at Snapchat down 40%, you see Google down over 6%. You see Twitter down 4% today. You see Facebook Metaverse down 9% today. The tech stocks are getting hit. And that's because people are pulling advertising money. So there is that contagion effect where the first thing to go is people quit spending money, consumers, but businesses also quit spending money. So how do you think that all ties into the situation we have here and now?
Yeah, I think right now you're really seeing I think profit warnings will be a steady theme over the next, you know, couple of months. You know, there's no reason to be optimistic that the macroeconomic environment is going to improve anytime soon. I think that when you consider the supply chain disruptions we're getting abroad, you know, the likelihood that, you know, China is going to struggle getting out of this current wave is pretty elevated, just because of what vaccines they have in place and how they can't abandon their zero COVID policy for quite some time, it seems. So I think you're going to see higher input costs. You're going to see, you know, rising interest rates, and you know there's that wild card of geopolitical risks, where you know you could see the war in Ukraine and that Russian embargo on their energy supplies could really kind of make that one last surge in inflation very painful for businesses, and eventually that'll get passed on to the consumer. So you're going to see that companies that are not the leader in their respective space, so like a Snapchat, you know, I mean, they're losing to TikTok with the millennial or with the younger generation. I think millennials are now older, and even the let's say 40 and above, they might be more Facebook users. You know, Snapchat is not looking attractive at all. Advertising spending is not going to be something where it's not where corporate America is going to be focused on right now to kind of to gain revenue share. So I think, social media giants and these digital ad companies are, you know, obviously getting pummeled. But I think in the end, you buy the ones that are going to, you know, excel once, you know, the economic environment improves. And it doesn't look like Snapchat is going to be that company. So I think you're going to see traders are going to focus on best of breed. And I think in the end, you know, when you take a look at, you know, what's been hammered and battered, you know, I think there's still that belief people are going to invest in, you know, cloud and you know, I think there's still expectations that that space will grow over the next couple of decades. So you'll probably see that, you know, while tech is, you know, NASDAQ's down almost 30% year to date, it should start to look attractive for a lot of people.
Yeah, I guess the big question is, when will investors turn more risk on, loosen up some of their pocketbooks and start investing? Because right now there are downtrends in a wide range of sectors. In the near term, though, Ed, really all I'm seeing that's up today are precious metals, gold especially. Gold's up about almost $20 on futures market. We also have treasuries. Those are higher. Yields, the 10-year is down to 2.73%. It wasn't long ago that it was over 3%. How sustainable and how long do you think some of these safer, more defensive, really selective assets can run?
Well, it wasn't too long ago when I said there was a short-term peak in yields. And now it looks like, you know, this flight to safety has really a lot of bond traders by surprise. I think that, you know, the 10-year at 270 is, 273 right now is just it's really surprising, and I think that now what you're probably going to see is you know, the peak of a dollar has been put in place because of that. And interesting is that you're finally seeing other central banks play catch up. ECB now expected to raise rates in July. We're talking about leaving negative territory for some of these global bond yields, and I think what you're going to see is there's expectations now that you know, the market is concerned about how the global economic recovery will return, and now you have tremendous demand for safe havens, and gold is now starting to look good again. I mean, you have a peak in the dollar, you have treasury yields, you know, in free fall, it looks like. So gold, you know, which, you know, I think there was I remember, you know, doing interviews where the other guy is saying, you know, 1600 is imminent. And now it seems that you're probably going to see that, the route for gold, you know, that's over. And now there's this appeal that, okay, gold is a safe haven. It's not Bitcoin. Right now, you know, I think a lot of people are overexposed to dollar denominated assets, and you're seeing gold, gold's having a nice time right now. But I think right now you're, you know, as when equities get their groove back, you know, then obviously I think that will be probably the end of the, you know, this move higher in gold. But I think right now, yeah, it's got a good short-term outlook here. And I think you could see some further bullish momentum here for gold.
Yeah, we'll see when investors switch course. But right now, everybody is worried about the economy, the markets, everything. Rightfully so. Costs are going up for everybody. I think people are running out of money. And quite frankly, wages aren't keeping up. And it doesn't seem like they're going to with how dire some of the forecasts have been from this last earnings season. Ed, good chatting with you as always, man. Very interesting day when it comes to the economic data that is just driving home the fact that I guess we can say the Fed is being successful with slowing everything down. It's not fun to live through, though. Ed, thank you as always for your time. We'll chat next week. I hope you have a great rest of your week.
Thank you. You too.